This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. We're going to talk about Peace at Home Advocacy Center Executive Director Melanie Prummer and Sexual Assault Services Director Nicole Rodriguez. Thanks for coming in.
Hello, everyone.
I like the way how you guys did that. That was very good. First of all, we're going to hit a lot of different things today about your work, but just, Melanie, just going to do a quick overall review of your overall general mission.
Yeah, our trained advocates are dedicated to providing services, support, and education to people experiencing family violence, sexual assault, stalking, and human trafficking. And some of our programs include legal advocacy, coordinating the sexual assault response team for Douglas County, our emergency services that we provide at a public office downtown, and shelter housing services. And we also have some co-located advocates and programs out in the community like UCC and DHS and even at our local law enforcement departments.
So one of the things that brought this idea up of having this conversation today, we're looking at a lot of different things related to the holidays with nonprofit groups and different organizations that are around throughout the year. Do domestic violence issues, does that increase during the holidays?
So that's a really good question. So domestic violence is really focused on having power and control over your intimate partner. And so we don't necessarily see an increase in accessing services through the holidays because that power and control dynamic has changed, that that has either existed or it may be getting worse. Of course, there are other stressors in life that does make it more difficult during the holidays for folks. But what we see is that commonly people stay in those relationships during the holidays. We know that people stay sometimes in those relationships because they don't have the support they need to leave. There's a lot of financial impacts for people to be able to leave an abusive relationship. But during the holidays, I think people try and hold it together for their children, trying to continue to create happy memories for their family and keep their family unit together. And it is really scary to think about being homeless during the holidays. It's really scary any time of year, but especially even during this weather when it's so cold outside. And many women in particular who are leaving abusive relationships, over 50% of those women actually become homeless because they do not have the resources or the support to find their own stable housing immediately, and then they access our shelter services. So we actually tend to see an increase in people accessing our services in January and February because they've made it through the holidays and now they need additional support.
And that gets me into thinking about the number of times not tied to domestic violence, but where people that I know have announced that they're separating, splitting up, et cetera, like in January.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we don't want to disrupt our traditions either as a family unit.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And sometimes, too, and it wouldn't be maybe domestic violence, maybe it's just overall harassment and disturbance issues and all that. But sometimes these holiday interactions with relatives that maybe people don't always like to be around kind of stretches people to their breaking point a bit.
Yeah, I think it's really important during the holidays to have a good safety plan with your family, with your partner, with your kiddos, that if things are feeling overwhelming or stressful, you know, what kinds of things you can do to decrease that stress and to feel regulated. So if you need to take a break, go for a walk, listen to some music on your own for a little while, you know, sharing that safety plan with somebody that you trust so that you all can take care of each other.
And so planning ahead, knowing that that stress is going to be there, you're going to walk into this big family or friends dinner and somebody's probably going to say something that somebody doesn't like at some point and you got to figure out what to do next.
Yes, definitely. I think we've all faced that.
So now I know that during the holidays, you've got a holiday program. Tell us what that entails. What's going on?
Yeah, we have multiple things going on. We provide dinners for all of our families who are living in our shelter and housing programs. So that's over 30 families, sometimes more than that, during those holiday days where we're providing those dinners. We also have an Adopt-A-Family program. And so we have wish lists from some of our families so people can donate toys. People can drop by and donate new toys and other great fun things for families at our office located downtown as well. We also do activities for some of our families throughout the holidays as well. And we, for example, this week we are going to host a cocoa party for the kids living in shelter and watch some fun Christmas movies. And so we had one of our own residents in shelter go out and purchase Christmas mugs for all the kids and then fill them with fixings and turn them into little packages. It was such a nice gesture. She really felt like giving back. And I think everyone has the capacity to give during the holidays. And I think we all really think about that at this time of year. And so we have lots of different things going on.
So how do you finance some of this stuff?
Many people donate through our website at peaceathome.com, or they mail us checks. And some people bring items to our office. And we do have people either reach out to me through the website via email or call me directly to ask what specific needs we may have. And I actually met with someone yesterday, and I think that we have some local businesses that are going to sponsor some of the activities that we have throughout the holidays.
So if somebody wants to connect and do that, they could call, they could drop by and or use a website and get connected that way.
Absolutely. And of course, we know sometimes it's hard to make those calls during business hours, but we do have a 24-hour crisis line, which is for crisis calls. However, mm-hmm. if it's 5:30 and you're getting off work and you'd really like to make a contribution, we're there and we'd be happy to take your call so we can support the families that we're supporting throughout December.
Because I imagine the people that you're serving in this way, I mean, that's just being in that situation is stressful enough. Add the holidays on top of it. And Nicole, you talked about, you know, people's memories and all of that. And people are going to go into this season thinking this is not as good a year as we were hoping for.
Yeah, we definitely try to decrease people's barriers to having, you know, really successful, wonderful holidays where they can celebrate with their families however they want to. And we're really only able to do that with the support of our community and donors.
So let's talk about, we'll cover a whole lot of different things here. Talk about things that started this past year with, for instance, your youth services.
Yeah, so we have a really great program going right now where we have the privilege to bring healthy relationships education to quite a few different schools. We're partnering with Phoenix School, the Juvenile Department, Oakland Middle and High School, and Riddle High School. And we talk a lot about communication, healthy boundaries, consent, how to identify toxic aspects of relationships, and then how to get support for those, and really just building healthy connections with everybody that's in our lives. But it's very important for youth to feel empowered to, you know, build healthy connections.
Do you feel like social media has just made this whole arena harder for young people?
I think there are some aspects of social media that can definitely play into how young people see their relationships with others. And so we definitely talk about that in the classes, kind of what role social media plays in our lives and kind of how it can change our communication with each other, because it's important to think about those things in kind of a changing technology world.
It seems like some people, and especially maybe young people, are likely to say things on a social media post that they wouldn't say if they were in the room.
Yes, and we definitely talk about that too. You know, how to be safe on the internet, how to have healthy interactions on the internet, and how to get support if you feel like you're experiencing you know, any bullying or just things that, you know, make you feel uncomfortable.
All right, we're going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Melody Primer and Nicole Rodriguez back in a moment on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming up at 1, and Your Cue with Shannon Sebastian at 4. We'll talk about an event coming up on the 17th on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. Melanie Prummer and Nicole Rodriguez with us now from Peace at Home Advocacy Center, talking about work that goes on throughout the year, new things happening, the holidays, and more. We were talking about the newer youth services that were started this year. Melanie, anything otherwise in terms of prevention programs or anything else that began in 2022?
Well, it's funny that you just mentioned the 17th of December, because we are part of a collaborative in Douglas County where we're hosting Winter Wonderland mm-hmm. at the fairgrounds, where it's a day of fun for families to come together, and there's some free food, free activities, and we will be doing some informational sessions and activities for kids that day, in addition to our regular programming. I know that our team is especially appreciative to Ford Family Foundation in helping us jumpstart the prevention and education programs that we're doing for youth in schools across Douglas County.
Well, and to be able to increase these services, I mean, you know, you get a lot of, you get funding from a lot of different sources, is what I'm trying to say. And so when you get an idea about something new you want to do, you got to find a way to pay for it.
Yeah, our board and staff actually spent a year, so in 2021, developing a strategic plan. And so all those goals are listed for the next 5 years. And this is one of our goals that we have been successfully being able to implement this year. In doing some education in schools, as well as some prevention and consent education at Umpqua Community College.
Do you feel like being at this point in the pandemic, however we want to describe it, do you feel like you've been able to get out there and do more things that in the previous couple of years was harder to do?
Yes, and it feels like, from my perspective, I'll let Nicole chime in as well. From my perspective, it almost feels like we're building new relationships again, or we're just trying to figure out where we're all at and what our goals are for our community to build resilience.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would definitely say that community partnerships and collaborations feel a lot stronger this year. And the doors are much wider for us to get back into the schools and engage with students.
It seems like after especially 2019, 2020, and part of last year, so many things didn't happen, couldn't happen, and that fractured and frayed a lot of relationships or just programs and plans that went on, and it got people used to those things not happening. And I mean, maybe this guy applies to you guys as well. Every organization I've talked to in the last 6 or 8 months talks about having a volunteer shortage.
Mm.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I think that that has been occurring for some time. I think also for our agency doing, you know, emergency services 24/7, I wouldn't describe our program as being fractured. There was this opportunity for us to grow and do services differently. And so we've been on the show and talked a lot about the hotel that we purchased. So instead of having a shelter model where people are living together for many reasons, including preventing the spread of communicable diseases, we purchased a hotel to be able to provide safe private spaces for families. And there are all these other great consequences that happened that we had been planning around for many, many years, for people to have those private spaces where they felt safer and they felt supported in a community, in our community environment, and being able to do that within their own family unit versus living in a communal environment. So it has strengthened our program.
And I know a number of other organizations around the state were able to leverage that and do the same kind of thing, purchase motels, purchase other facilities, and do what you are talking about and, you know, give people more of their own space.
Yeah, and it's been really fun to visit some of those places and learn more about the success of those programs so that we can think about other changes that we'd like to make. And even share our successes with other programs across the state that would like to participate in a model like this.
When you've got domestic violence and partner situations, it's not just the two people. If they've got kids around, the kids are impacted. how do kids come out of that? I mean, when they see these things happen?
Kids are impacted, and pets. Mm-hmm. And I know for us, we're providing supports, everything from activities after school, being able to have some fun, as well as support groups, being able to talk to safe adults, and doing some safety planning with those kids. Nicole, actually, in one of her former roles with Peace at Home, was a child and family advocate. So, Nicole, maybe you could add some thoughts to...
Yeah, I think that we're always trying to find ways that we can mitigate the impacts that trauma has on kids, because we just know that supportive services and healthy connections with adults are some of the biggest factors in, you know, minimizing the impact that trauma has on them.
And even the aspect, especially if kids have been around this at some level for as long as they can remember, sometimes they presume that that's what's life is like, and they go visit a friend and like come home and go, wow, what, that was really different.
Yeah, we have a lot of conversations about kind of changing norms and kind of talking about different paths that we can build for our future. And we really want to empower kids that we interact with to feel like they have an active role in their future and, you know, creating healthier, safer spaces.
And because you don't want them to become adults who then, you know, make it generational.
Yeah. And that's why this youth programming that we're able to provide is so important and so powerful, I think, for just our whole community kind of coming together and creating healthier, safer spaces.
So as you meet with young people, I would imagine that it's a long process. I mean, this isn't something that you just take a, you know, you come to a seminar one night and, oh, everything's better.
Yes, it's definitely about relationship building and kind of consistency. So a lot of the programming that we're doing is every other week or weekly programming so that we can really build those strong relationships.
About a minute and a half left on Inside Douglas County. Melanie, talk about how people access all the services you guys provide.
Yeah, people can call our 24/7 crisis line at 541-673-7867 or visit our website at peaceathome.com. And during 8:30 to 5, Monday through Friday, people can walk in and access services at our downtown location.
And looking ahead to next year, you're already working on the Empower Dance and Vocals event?
Yes, we have performers who are practicing to bring a really entertaining show, which will be hosted at Umpqua Community College this year on Saturday, February 11th. And you can get more details at peaceathomedance.com.
So that's not that far away. I was thinking that was further down the road.
We're about a week earlier this year, so your thought process was probably right.
So the and that you're doing that as a kind of a fun event, but a fundraiser is really the big focus, right?
Absolutely. We're raising funds for programs just like the ones we talked about today, like youth prevention, as well as our other vital services that we provide for Douglas County residents.
All right. Give people your website address one more time.
For the Empower event, it's peaceathomedance.com. And if you know someone or yourself who needs services, visit peaceathome.com.
All right, Melanie Primer and Nicole Rodriguez, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.